In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. More is not always better. If you are in the business of marketing or trying to make it big in media, how big does your audience need to be in order for you to be successful? You would think that to sell more books or to market more widgets or even to start a political movement, the primary goal should be to get as big an audience as you possibly can. Get all those likes and clicks. Get your brand on every t-shirt at the mall. I know we're all influencers today, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, there's a place for that when we're talking about things like market share or elections. But writer Seth Godin takes a different approach. He makes the case for less over more, what he calls minimum viable audience, or MVA. He suggests that quality over quantity matters, that your brand is better off with a tight, loyal group of true believers than with an ocean of folk who are just flowing along with the tide. The paradox, though, is that rather than broadcasting your message to as many people as you can, you aim for as few as necessary so that you can have impact and integrity and then adapt and grow. So now you're not only putting something important out into the world, but you're using your resources wisely, and you're responding and changing appropriately, taking the feedback from that tight, loyal group of folks and becoming better at what you're offering. Small can be mighty. Let me give you an example from the church. About a month and a half ago, a group from Trinity went to see the Reverend William Barber at the City Club here downtown in Cleveland. And as he began his talk, he was seated there with his host, and he says, "Wait a minute, I want to take a moment to invite all pastors of small churches to come forward and join us up on the stage for the entire presentation." He said, "Whether you're Latino, whether you're Black, whether you're white, if you are leading a small church, I want you up here with me right now." And he said the reason for that is because small churches are the ones with the real impact. He said, "Let's go back to the Montgomery bus boycott, back in the heart of the civil rights movement." He said, "Do you think it was the big churches that made a big difference?" "No, no," he said, "it was those smaller churches who showed up and with measures of faith strong enough to move mountains, called for justice, and proclaimed the dignity of every human being." Now, generally speaking, if something is valuable, we want more of it. That's human nature. We want it to be bigger. We don't want a small measure of something. We want abundance. We want our plate to be overfilled, and we want enough for leftovers. The disciples heard about something really good. They heard about faith. We all know faith is really good, something we probably want a lot of. And so they turned to Jesus, and they said, "Let's have more of this. Increase our faith. Please." The "please" was implied. I assume that they were courteous. His response is really kind of perplexing. Jesus seems to rebuke them for asking. And he says, "If you had even the smallest bit of faith, even the size of a mustard seed, then you could uproot that mulberry tree with your words and get it to get up and scamper its mulberry self across to the sea and replant right there." And then Jesus gets downright harsh. He describes a slave or a worker who comes into the house and asks to be seated with the landowner's family. But these worthless slaves, it does sound less harsh when you sing it, Brian. I will say that. But these worthless slaves, they don't even deserve thanks, since all they have done was what they were supposed to do anyway. I have to say that as stewardship themes go, this one is not a winner. Just about everything else we hear from Jesus is about healing our sense of unworthiness. It's about, Jesus teaches grace, which is precisely what seems to be missing from this story. Well, what I think he's saying, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but what he's doing is Jesus is using language that is intentionally uncomfortable. It is meant to disrupt and free the disciples and us too from the linear rational perspectives that simply cannot take them deeper into the life of faith. I love a good linear story, a good linear argument. I'm a big fan of rational thinking, believe me. But I also know that they are not a vehicle that can take us where we need to go in the life of faith. What they want is they want more of this. They want more faith. And Jesus tells them instead that faith knows what to do with less. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, not an overflowing barrel full, but just a millimeter-sized little pod, and anybody who ever went to Sunday school knows what that is, because they scotch taped the little mustard seed to the card that they came home and waved in front of their parents. If you can hold that little thing between your fingers and see it for what it is, then you can move mountains. That's absurd. That's just nuts. But you know what? That's what faith is. If we can hold in our hands the tiniest measure, to see it for what it is, to treasure it, to let it work its way into our hearts as only the smallest things can, then suddenly everything in our lives becomes animated and empowered by the Spirit of God. What's your mountain? What is your mulberry tree? There are some mountains right now that need to move. Some are very personal, I know. A broken relationship, an illness. There are mountains that we share. A divided politics, terrible inequity, a relentless assault on dignity and shared values. How are we going to move these mountains when armies of soldiers and phalanxes of engineers don't seem to be able to budget one tiny bit? Jesus tells the disciples, don't think big, think small. Find your mustard seed, that minimum viable measure of faith. And guess what? Your eyes will clear. You will see things that you had not seen before, and things will begin to change. The mustard seed is powerful because we think that it's simple, we think that it's linear, and in some ways it is, but you realize, of course, that there is not one but two mustard seed parables. We know one elsewhere, Jesus says that if we take that tiny seed and if we plant it and then with water, with time, and with rain, then it's going to grow into a mighty shrub that is so lush that folk mistake it for a tree. That's logical. It tells us that time is on our side, and in God's world, things incline towards goodness and growth. Yes, check, absolutely. But today, Jesus is taking us somewhere else. The story of the mustard seed is closer to a Zen koan, a riddle designed to show the inadequacy of logical thinking. Jesus isn't asking us what to think about what happens to that mustard seed when it grows up and can actually be useful to us. He's asking us to think backward from that place where we value things that are complete and fully developed, but instead to see that seed, that tiny little measure of hope and trust, that tiny little pod that has immense power to change us and to heal us, to see that tiny little seed as a complete thing in and of itself. One with the power to heal our hearts. One with the power to move mountains. Now, I don't want to throw away the most difficult part of this passage today. Actually, I very much want to throw away the most difficult part of the passage, but I don't have that option, right? I don't think I do. That awkward part about the hardworking slave and the master who really just seems kind of ungrateful. I think the passage is telling us several things. One is that just as much is expected of the laborer, much is expected of the faithful. That is you and that is me. Robust faith grows in an economy of high expectations. God does not want 10% of us. God wants our whole hearts and our whole selves. Faith means putting not some of our trust in God, but our whole trust in the grace and love of God. Faith also means grounding our relationships with one another on charity, compassion, and fidelity. To be faithful is to expect much of ourselves and of one another. The other thing I think is going on in this passage, I think that Jesus is saying humility is an essential posture of faith. The servants, they come in having spent their days plowing and tending the earth, digging in the soil, humus. The soil of humility is precisely where faith grows. It's jarring the way we hear it, but the laborer does not come home and then claim equality with God. Oh, I mean, that's what we want to do in this world, right? To be sure. We want to create God in our image. We want to build an idol of wealth and power. And then, at the end of the day, we expect to be thanked for it. A faithful and humble person would not expect that. They wouldn't even imagine that. Now, we're not talking about exploited people or oppressed people who are being oppressed. I don't think that's what this passage is about. Rather, with a posture of humility, faith grows. When we do the work God calls us to do, when we worship, when we serve, when we pray, when we witness, when we give, when we forgive, we're not doing it for a reward. We're not even doing it for a place at the heavenly banquet. We worship, we serve, we give, we witness, we forgive, we pray, because all these things nourish our faith. And because when we have faith, even that tiniest little mustard seed measure of it, we cannot help but give ourselves to that life-giving work. The disciples wanted more of something good. They said, Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus said to them, you already have what you need. Hold on to that tiny little seed of faith in your hands. Pray on it. And let your awareness of something that is so precious and small, yet so powerful, let that change your heart and your whole life. Faith is not something that we benefit from having more of. Faith works when we trust in the humble measure that we have. When times are tough and you're not sure how you're going to get through the day, the week, or the season, and you don't know if you're going to have enough faith to carry through. Friends, find your mustard seed and know that it is enough to move mountains. Amen.